This is Health First with Kathy Hart, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We are back with Martin Lindstrom, and he is the author of The Ministry of Common Sense. So you were just about to tell us a story that helps to show how the common sense and connection can work in a company or business.
Absolutely. Well, so here's a story which I think is somewhat symptomatic for what's happening in larger corporations around the world. I met this guy. He'd been employed at the same company for about 30 years. And I said to him, what's your biggest concern? And he said, my biggest concern is that I'll be forgotten. And quite often, that's what we see when we do our work across the world, that a lot of people feel that they basically just vanish into the gray nowhere. And that's quite often the reason why, you know, I am asked to set up a Ministry of Common Sense. And the Ministry of Common Sense is not just a fun title on a book. It actually exists. It's a ministry we're setting up in an organization where stupidity, the level of stupidities and red tape and BS has become so extreme that, in fact, there's no way around it than to clean up one stupidity at a time, to give people oxygen and a sense of hope back so they actually start to thrive in their workplace again.
It's funny that you say that we need oxygen to give us oxygen, because I think that's what's needed more than anything else in every business right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You're so right about that. And I think where we've gotten to right now is, of course, it's getting even worse. And I'll write a lot about that in the new book, that now when we sit behind our Zoom or Microsoft Teams link in back-to-back Zoom calls without a single break, I don't know where the toilet breaks disappear. We sort of never go officially to the toilet anymore. And every Zoom call is exactly 1 hour. No matter how mundane or trivial the call is, it's like you would not sort of say after 25 minutes, I'm out of here, we've done our work. No, you feel you're kind of cheating by doing it. So what has happened is that we have this extreme culture building up now where productivity is measured against how many calls I'm attending. But what's so ironic is that even though numbers are showing that productivity is going up, the same numbers are also showing that, you know, creativity is going down. And people have no time to think, no time to reflect, no time to pause for a second and put things into perspective. And with that, of course, culture is completely collapsing, because how do you build a culture through a screen where you can't hang around with your friends or your colleagues at the canteen or when you're having a smoke outside? It's basically gone. And that's the reason why, you know, I felt that it was so worth writing a book now, because I don't think there's anything called going back to work. I fundamentally believe we now are going forward to work. Mm-hmm. And with that, we need to redefine the way we work at our workplace.
And what would the main purpose of your book be for this transitional time in our lives?
I think there's three points here. As I'm discussing a lot in the book, is this, you know, frightening correlation between common sense and empathy, and the fact that empathy is at a all-time low. And by that I mean that if we don't recover empathy, I think there's some serious consequences flowing out of it. Think about it. The reason why we as a human race became what we are today is because we actually have empathy. No other mammals have that. It's our ability to put ourselves into the footstep, I guess, of a polar bear and try to imagine what their reaction would be. And through that, it made us survive. But recent studies now from multiple universities across the world shows that the levels of empathy among college students have now dropped between 48 and 50% over the last decade. It means what turned us to become what we are today is also our undoing. So one of the things I'm discussing a lot in the book is, of course, that issue and how we get it back. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, I'm discussing how do we make our workplace work better so we remove frictions and frustrations. And the last thing I'm talking a lot about is what do we do in order to connect companies and customers again? So we're not seeing this endless red tape going on when you fill out our forms or our passwords, where frustrations is more or less driving every minute of our interactions.
Wow. What's the most miraculous thing you've seen by going in and shifting a difficult situation?
I don't think that situations have to be huge for them to be impactful. I'll give you an example from a major bank where I had a workshop with 1,200 executives in New York City, and I asked them, how frustrated do you feel every day when you're going to work? And basically everyone raised their hand and said, seriously frustrated. Mm-hmm. I said, what is the issue? Well, guess what? On average, every single employee of those in that room received 800 emails a day. Now, if you do the math, and let's say it's just 1 minute to read and reply to the same email, that's 13 hours a day. I mean, you haven't even started working in yet. So I said to them, do you know there's a direct correlation between the number of emails you send and the number of emails you receive? So why don't we cut the number of emails down? And I suggested it by doing it in a very simple way. Why don't we get rid of the CC button and the reply all button in Microsoft Outlook? Of course, mm-hmm. two people from compliance said, oh, you can't do it, it's impossible, we'll be sued. I said, let's just try it for a month. So we did it for a month. After a month, the number of emails had dropped from 800 to 350-something emails a day. Mm-hmm. And there's not a single complaint from anyone. And that shows you how a simple move suddenly can turn things around from stupidity to common sense.
Yes. Wow. Yeah, that's so needed. And right now at this time, I mean, the humanity and the common sense stepping in is so important when we're losing, you know, the ability to see faces, the ability to breathe, the ability to connect, to make some of those kind of calls.
I think so. And I think we get into a point now, it's almost like a crossroad. I do feel we are at a point in time now where either algorithms and technology are starting to drive us, or we can choose to drive that. I can't count the number of times where I've met people saying, well, it's just stupid me. And I'll give you an example. I was in a hotel in Miami wanting to watch television, and I grabbed my remote control, and it had six arrows going up and down. It has three numerical keyboard, and it had two on buttons. And I'm not sure if you press both of them, it will be extra supernatural on that television. Anyway, I stepped away with it for about a minute or two, managed to switch on the television, switched off the television after a couple of minutes, or rather, I tried to, because guess what? This television had two off buttons. And when I pressed the first one, the light in the room dimmed in some sexy, moody way. And when I switched off the second one, air conditioning systems switched off. But the television, of course, still stayed on, right?
All right.
So at that stage, of course, I blamed myself, thinking, why I'm so just not into technology anymore. I'm getting old here. So I managed to unplug the whole thing. And then this is what happens. This is so crazy. 3 months later, I'm sitting on a plane to JFK, and I'm sitting next to this guy, and he tells me he works for that very company.
Oh, my gosh.
Using that remote control. And I said, what the heck went wrong with you guys? And he looks at me like a deer in the headlights. I said, what do you mean? I said, well, you can't use it. He said, well, listen, I'll tell you the story. We separated every area in the remote control into departments because we had internal fights. One department were responsible for Netflix, another one for TV, and a third one for recording. So we just did this zone separation. So it was neatly separated into small zones. So we had three keypads for certain different aspects of the remote, but that doesn't matter. We all know what our roles are internally. And I looked at him and I said, except one thing, I don't know how to switch on the television anymore.
Yeah.
And this is my point. Suddenly they started to see the world from inside out, from their point of view, rather than outside in, which is from the customer's point of view. And in the end, we, you and I, end up blaming ourselves, saying, oh, I'm so stupid. But in reality, who is the stupid person here? So in my opinion, it's time to put a line in the sand and ask ourselves to recover common sense, because sadly, common sense is not that common.
No. This is perfect timing for this beautiful book, The Ministry of Common Sense. Can you let our listeners know where to find the book, how to find it, and how to use it to the best of their ability?
Absolutely. You can always go into my website. It's martinlindstrom.com. You also can buy it on Amazon, but I just want to tell a very quick funny story, because the book's advertising is in fact banned by Amazon because it uses two letters, which is B and S, standing for bullshit, just so you know. But that's banned on Amazon, so I can't advertise it, but you can still buy it on Amazon, ironically. I guess it's very ironic.
Very ironic.
About BS is banned by a system controlled by BS.
That's very funny. Well, thank you, Martin, for being on our program today and letting people remember the power of common sense, and remember that even if we don't understand something, it might be because it's not very understandable. So looking forward to reading your whole book through, and thanks so much for being with us today.
You are welcome.
Okay. Be right back.